Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. There are many options open to man as to how to live. There are various roads that he can travel through life. Each one of us is constantly confronted with the necessity to choose the way that we shall go. These ways can be classified under two general categories. One way consists of the good way, Jeremiah 6 and verse 16, also called the straight and narrow way in Matthew 7, what Peter calls the right way in 2 Peter 2, or the way of righteousness, also in 2 Peter 2. Paul calls it the more excellent way, 1 Corinthians 12, and the way of holiness, Isaiah 35. But there is also the way of death, James 5 and Proverbs 14. There is the way to hell, Proverbs 7. The false way, Psalm 119. And the way of the transgressor, Proverbs 13. Our lesson is going to center on this last description, the way of the transgressor. It is not that this way differs from the other descriptions given that lead to destruction, but it emphasizes the plight of the transgressor and who is a transgressor. This refers to the sinner, the one who sins against God by violating his will. 1 John 3 and verse 4, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And Paul contends that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3, 23. That includes me and you. And how do we sin? How does the Bible define sin? Well, it's the transgression of the law of God, as we have just read. All unrighteousness is sin, 1 John 5, 17. Even the failure to do good is called sin, James 4 and verse 17. And do you realize that to violate your conscience is sin? Romans 14, 23. Sin is the result of temptation and the surrender to that temptation, James 1, 13 through 15. And the avenues of temptation are the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, 1 John 2 and verse 16. Well, why do people sin? Some sin because they love darkness rather than light, John 3, 19. Some sin because of weakness, Romans 14, 1. Others sin due to ignorance, 1 Timothy 1, 13. Sin is often, however, nothing more than outright rebellion against God, Hebrews 10, 26. But whatever may be the motivation causing sin, whatever be the reasons given behind it, when one sins, he becomes a transgressor. And the Scripture teaches that the way of the transgressor is hard. Now, Satan would not have you think so. He would persuade you that the way of the transgressor is the way to get the most out of life. He shows you how sin can bring comfort and pleasure and fame and power and whatever is mistakenly called a good time. My dear listener, you always remember that no time is a good time if it's not good in the sight of God. You know, this is one of the devil's deceptive devices. We cannot deny that sin has its reward, Hebrews 11, 25. The pleasure of sin is what makes sin so attractive. But the reward of sin that appeals to us is temporary. It's fleeting. It's deceiving. Like thin ice on the pond, it seems adequate enough, but becomes a trap that leads to death. We must be mindful of the ultimate wages of sin, Romans 6:23, which Paul calls death, with reference to spiritual death or separation from God. And however enjoyable or temporarily beneficial sin may appear to be, as Moses said once to his fellow countrymen, be sure your sin will find you out, Numbers 32, verse 23. Paul said, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Is it not true that many hardships come in life because of our sins? Now, not all hardship that we suffer is due to our personal sins. You know, sometimes people suffer because of the sins of others. We're not talking about the bearing of the guilt of another's sin, but there are consequences of sin that those other than ourselves commit that sometimes people have to endure. Children often bear great hardship because of the sins of their parents. Innocent people suffer because of the wickedness of those round about them. Jesus presented such in Luke 13:1-5, when he asked his hearers if they believed the ones Pilate killed or the ones on whom the tower of Siloam fell were more wicked than others. Of course they were not. Tragedy and hardship often befall people, and it's not because of their personal sins all the time. Jesus taught the same thing in John 9:1-3. His disciples asked him, who had sinned that a man was born blind? Jesus said, neither the man nor his parents had sinned that caused his blindness. Sometimes people ask, why did God allow this to happen to me? What evil have I done to deserve this or that? When a person suffers, it may simply be something that is common to man. He's in this world and he's a human being, and it's not because of any transgression necessarily on his part. Even godliness can produce persecution. Consider the life of Paul. And all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, Paul wrote. Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Sometimes people lay the blame on God for their difficulties. However, when the problems are simple, common, everyday things that come in human experience, those things come whether one is good or evil. But there are those hardships that we impose upon ourselves because of our wicked lives. And it's this self-imposed difficulty and hardship that we want to investigate. And there are many biblical examples of such things. Adam and Eve certainly brought hardship on themselves, did they not, by their transgressions of God's instructions? Here they were, created in purity and sinlessness, placed in the Garden of Eden, given every provision, denied nothing except the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and yet they were tempted and they fell beneath it. Did it make a difference? Certainly it did. Genesis 3:16-19, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And to Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hath eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. And in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. Paul told the Romans that death entered the world through the sin of that first pair. Romans 5:12. Their hardship was the result of their own actions. And then look at Cain, the first murderer, a self-willed man who worshipped God according to his own way rather than God's way. He was cursed because of his wickedness, and he tried to cover his sins by pretending he knew nothing about them. Oh, he was jealous and full of hate and angry, and it led to his act of murder. He was bemoaning his fate of being a fugitive and a vagabond, but it was all his own fault. Did not Cain prove that the way of the transgressor is hard? And a study of the history of ancient Israel is a demonstration before us of this powerful proverb that we learn from God's truth. delivered from Egypt? They showed their lack of faith in God by listening to the 10, the faithless spies. Because they followed not God's directions, they suffered the hardship of wandering in the wilderness for 40 years until only those two, Joshua and Caleb, who were above the age of 20, were allowed to enter into the promised land. Oh, hard was the way of the Israelite. But it was a way that was self-imposed. Their transgressions had brought it upon them. Have you considered the man named Achan, who took of the spoils of the city of Jericho that belonged to God's treasury? He buried his takings in his tent to attempt to hide his misdeeds, only later to be discovered and to be put to death for his sins. But who was at fault? God had already given instructions. God had already decided what ought to be done, but this man decided to disobey God. The way he chose was hard. David was one of the best witnesses to the truth that the way of the transgressor is hard. At the very height of his reign, David neglected his duty. He lusted. He committed adultery. He tried to cover his sins even by the murder of a loyal servant or subject. Yes, he was forgiven of his transgression. But the consequences of it remained throughout all of his life. This man, once a man after God's own heart, was cursed with hardship from within his own family throughout the remaining days. First, there was the death of the child conceived by Bathsheba. Then he suffered the shame of a son raping a daughter, and another son murdering a second son. He suffered two sons in rebellion against him. He never had a moment of peace thereafter. It took the great prophet of God, Nathan, to make David realize the enormity of his sins and the enormity of the consequences of it. But who could deny that David proved that the way of the transgressor is hard? And what of Judas? How wonderful the 30 pieces of silver once looked to him. He was in with those who wanted to retain power over the people. All he had to do was to identify the master from the midst of his disciples. It was not such a big thing. It seemed so small and totally profitable. But he lived long enough to see the wickedness of his deeds, to suffer the agony of regret, not sufficiently, however, to repent and ask forgiveness. He repented only to the extent that he wished it had turned out differently for him. He took his own life. Was his sin worth what he reaped? Indeed, the wages of sin makes the way of the transgressor hard, even while here on earth in many instances. Who would even question that the drunkard brings hardship upon himself? And he's the one to blame. The only solution, friend, to the problems of drinking is total abstinence. Oh, I know that there be so many people who think they'll never get caught up in the havoc of alcoholic beverages. And later they find themselves in poverty, or disease, or ruined life, or destroyed homes, and marriages broken, sins accumulating on top of sins. What a miserable existence! And from whence came their hardship, except from their own sinful doings? The liar, the cheat, the immoral, the thief, yes, they reap what they sow. And their way is mined with hardship upon hardship. Even those who seemingly have the best of life, even in their sins, have to face God in judgment. They will hear the words of eternal doom and suffer the eternal punishment of hell. Who then will question the truth that the way of the transgressor is hard? Service to God in a world of evil may often produce hardship. 1 Peter 4:12-16. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of God and of Christ resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or as an evildoer or a busybody in other men's matters. Yet, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in his behalf. You see, it makes all the difference in the world and in the next why one must suffer. What a tragedy that one's wicked life brings his hardship upon his own head. Jesus came to this earth to relieve us of the guilt of sin by providing for us the way of forgiveness. But many other consequences of sin may have to be suffered in this life. While we are naturally concerned about that, we should be more concerned about being forgiven. Because if we are forgiven, there will be no suffering after this life because of our sins. We can bear the hardship imposed on us because of being a Christian. We can even endure the hardship caused in this life due to our sins and the sins of others, even though we ought to be aware of the law of sowing and reaping. But one thing we cannot do, and that is bear successfully the guilt of sin. That burden is more than we can take. But we can come to Christ, exchange that burden for his yoke that is relatively light and easy. Yes, the way of the transgressor is often hard in this life, and it is self-imposed. But the self-imposed hardship of eternal damnation, friend, it can be avoided. And if not, oh, how we shall know, the way of the transgressor is hard. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker, Jim Boyd. Until next time.